Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. Evil, The Science Behind Humanity's Dark Side by Julia Shaw is a popular science book that examines why people think about, commit, excuse, or condemn harmful acts. Shaw is a criminal psychologist known for work on memory and forensic psychology, and she approaches evil through psychology, neuroscience, criminology, and social analysis rather than theology or moral absolutism. The book challenges the assumption that evil is a stable quality possessed by a separate class of people. Instead, it treats the word as a human label shaped by fear, disgust, social norms, and incomplete understanding. Shaw discusses topics such as violent crime, psychopathy, sexual taboo, moral hypocrisy, online harm, and the role of technology in shaping behavior and belief. Its purpose is not to excuse wrongdoing, but to make it more intelligible, by asking readers to examine uncomfortable continuities between ordinary minds and criminal minds. The book argues for a more precise, less dehumanizing way to understand human harm. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, evil as a social label rather than a fixed human essence. A central argument of the book is that evil is not an objective substance inside particular people, but a label applied when behavior feels especially frightening, disgusting, or morally alien. Shaw questions whether the term explains anything, because calling someone evil often ends inquiry at exactly the point where inquiry is most needed. The label can make perpetrators seem fundamentally different from ordinary people, which may comfort the public but can obscure the psychological, social, and situational mechanisms that made harm possible. This does not mean harmful acts are minimized or victims are ignored. Rather, Shaw separates moral condemnation from scientific explanation. A killing, assault, deception, or abuse of power can remain morally serious while still being studied as behavior produced by human cognition, incentives, emotion, and context. The book, therefore, asks readers to replace the question of who is evil with questions about what conditions, beliefs, perceptions, and traits increase the likelihood of harm. This shift is important because prevention depends less on symbolic condemnation than on accurate understanding. If evil is treated as an alien force, society may miss warning signs in ordinary institutions, relationships, and technologies. Secondly, neuroscience and criminology complicate the idea of monstrous offenders. Shaw uses findings from psychology, neuroscience, and posthumous, and criminology to show that harmful behavior rarely has a single cause. Discussions of aggression, psychopathy, empathy, impulse control, and moral decision-making point to a more complicated picture than the popular image of the born monster. All brain differences can be relevant, but the book is careful in spirit to avoid reducing crime to brain scans or biological destiny. Traits associated with callousness or risk-taking may increase vulnerability to certain behaviors, yet they do not automatically produce violence or criminality. Context, opportunity, learning, substance use, peer influence, trauma, ideology, and institutional failure can all shape outcomes. This matters because public culture often treats criminals as a separate species, while forensic psychology shows overlapping capacities between offenders and non-offenders. Many traits that can contribute to harm, such as boldness, emotional detachment, or social influence, can also function adaptively in other settings. The value of this approach is diagnostic, rather than sensational. It invites readers to think in probabilities, mechanisms, and risk factors instead of moral caricatures. Such thinking is more useful for prevention, rehabilitation, legal judgment, and public policy than assuming that extreme acts come only from wholly abnormal minds. Thirdly, moral blindness and hypocrisy make ordinary people participants in harm. Another important theme is the gap between what people claim to value and how they actually behave. Shaw examines moral blindness as a practical failure of attention, empathy, or self-scrutiny, rather than a rare defect found only in criminals. People may condemn cruelty while benefiting from systems that hide suffering, excuse misconduct by members of their own group, or reinterpret their actions when self-interest is involved. This focus on hypocrisy is uncomfortable because it turns the investigation of evil back toward everyday life. The book suggests that harmful conduct often becomes easier when responsibility is diffused, victims are abstract, norms are reinforced by peers, or institutions reward compliance over reflection. Such mechanisms can operate in workplaces, online communities, political movements, and consumer behavior, not only in prisons or crime scenes. Shaw thereby broadens the field of analysis from individual deviance to social participation. The reasoning is concrete: if people can see themselves as good while enabling harm, then self-image is a weak safeguard against wrongdoing. More reliable safeguards require transparency, accountability, empathy for distant victims, and awareness of how quickly moral reasoning can become self-serving. This theme distinguishes the book from simple true crime accounts centered only on exceptional offenders. Fourthly, digital environments intensify cybercrime, misinformation, and moral distance. The book gives significant attention to how technology changes the conditions under which people harm one another. Digital spaces can reduce face-to-face empathy, create perceived anonymity, accelerate group polarization, and make victims seem less real. These features help explain why harassment, fraud, exploitation, and other forms of cybercrime can spread through ordinary users as well as professional offenders. Shaw connects this to broader concerns about reality construction social media platforms, curate information, shape attention, and can make misinformation feel personally true through repetition and group validation. Given her background in memory research, this interest in false belief and distorted recollection is especially relevant. The argument is not that technology itself is evil, but that technological systems alter incentives and perceptions in ways that can magnify harmful tendencies. This also shifts moral responsibility from isolated users to designers, companies, regulators, and communities. If platforms profit from outrage, frictionless sharing, or addictive engagement, then harmful behavior is partly structured by architecture. The practical implication is that digital ethics cannot rely only on telling individuals to be better. It requires design choices, reporting systems, moderation standards, and public literacy about manipulation, attention, and memory. Lastly, taboo subjects require careful distinction between thought, identity, and harm. Shaw is notable for addressing taboo areas of desire, fantasy, stigma, and deviance without treating discomfort as evidence of danger. The book discusses subjects that many popular science books avoid, including sexual taboo and stigmatized interests, in order to separate moral panic from actual harm. A key analytic distinction is between thoughts, fantasies, identities, consensual behavior, and non-consensual acts. Collapsing these categories can produce bad science and bad policy because it may drive people away from help, discourage honest research, and make prevention more difficult. Shaw does not argue that all behaviors are acceptable. Consent and harm remain crucial boundaries. Instead, she argues that curiosity and careful classification are necessary if society wants to reduce abuse rather than merely express disgust. This approach also fits the broader thesis that the word evil can shut down useful conversation. When taboo topics are treated only through shame, people may hide risks, professionals may avoid nuanced assessment, and public debate may become less accurate. The book stands out by insisting that responsible inquiry can coexist with firm ethical limits. But its treatment of taboo is designed to make harm prevention more precise, not to normalize exploitation or erase moral responsibility. In conclusion, Evil the Science Behind Humanity Dark Side is best suited to readers who want an accessible but unsettling introduction to the psychology of harmful behavior. It will interest readers of popular psychology, criminology, true crime analysis, moral philosophy, digital culture, and forensic science. Professionals or students in law, psychology, social work, education, and technology ethics may also find it useful as a conversation starting text, though it is not written as a technical academic monograph. Its practical benefit lies in teaching readers to ask better questions about harm: what incentives are present, how is responsibility distributed, what labels are being used, and what evidence is being ignored because the subject feels taboo. Its intellectual benefit is the challenge it poses to moral simplification. Compared with many books about crime or human darkness, Shaw does not focus mainly on notorious offenders or dramatic case histories. She emphasizes continuities between ordinary cognition and extreme wrongdoing, and she connects private moral psychology with public systems, such as social media, institutions, and law. The book stands out because it combines taboo inquiry with a clear critique of dehumanizing language. Its most valuable contribution is not a final theory of evil, but a disciplined refusal to let the label replace explanation. If you would like to support Julia Shaw, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.